broadcasting live from the Toyota studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio?
Yes, talk radio.
So boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
HitThatLine.com. I got that wood.
This is The Morning Rush.
Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors.
I don't mind cigarettes being inside.
Tommy Kraft.
Their parents were acting a fool in the bleachers at the boys' club.
And Nick Mason.
Do as I say, not as I do.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
2 hours down, 1 hour to go. Appreciate everybody listening in on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason in studio with you on this Wednesday. This week is just flying by. All the NCAA tournament going on this weekend. You got Hogs baseball. The game got canceled yesterday. Yeah. And now that it doesn't look like it's going to be made up or anything, so they'll have the game today.
2:30 today, if weather permits.
Weather permitting.
Even that big, they got that big nor'easter or whatever, but there is just a ton of weather. We've had the news on here in the studio, and delaying trains, planes, trains, and automobiles. We're all having trouble out on the East Coast. We'll put it that way.
Yeah. So, but we'll keep you
updated. There's Charlotte. There was part of that system moving through Charlotte, so kind of on the southern end. So we'll see if they play at 2:30 today. That's the plan, at least.
Yeah. And honestly, if you're a Razorback baseball fan, you feel like it's not a bad thing that the game didn't play. Less of these midweek games, I know you don't want to get out of rhythm, but hey, against the Charlotte team, got to prepare for Florida, one of the best teams in the country this weekend. Maybe a benefit.
I'd like to see a Razorback team could this be the year they could stack up 40 wins heading into the conference tournament? Because if you're a team that has, if you get, and there's some teams out there that get close to 50 wins when they get to the NCAA tournament. I'm not suggesting that should be the goal. The goal is to go to the College World Series and have a shot at a national championship. But these midweek games give you a little RPI boost. You don't know how, because it's another win in the right column. You get a win in the correct column, I should say.
There
you go. Left-hand column.
Yeah.
The correct column that you want. It's another win that you can pile on. But I think when you're a team and you're looking at those eight host sites for super regionals and you want to be one of those national seeds, and they're changing the format of that a bit this year, but you want to be in that spot. I think when you've got 40-plus wins before conference play, before conference tournament play, it's hard to avoid not being in that situation. Yeah. When you're in a league like the SEC.
Yeah. I mean, the SEC is
brutal. So these little midweek
brutal.
Games matter.
Yeah. They matter.
From that standpoint.
They matter. And, if Arkansas goes in.
Are they the biggest thing? No.
But who knows? Baseball is such a funny sport. You never know what helps or what hurts or anything like that. But you do know that they have one of the biggest series of the season, the regular season, coming up this weekend, going to Gainesville, playing against the number one Florida, number two Florida, number three Florida. It just kind of depends on which poll you look at. But
there's seven polls out there. Arkansas ranks anywhere from third to seventh. Four of the seven polls that kind of everyone pays attention to at Arkansas at number four.
That's the highest I've seen them yet.
But everyone will go. I think it was the National College Baseball Writers Association has them at three. So that's now the poll you pay attention to this week. They had them the highest. I think the ESPN poll maybe had them the lowest at seven. So the lowest you were ranked was seventh. The highest was third. About everybody else had you at four.
Can we make a Morning Rush college baseball poll?
Might as well jump into the business.
What the cool kids are doing. So, but no, again, the baseball game today, 2:30 against Charlotte, weather permitting. You'll be able to hear it right here on your favorite sports talk radio station. And now it's time for the on-the-spot question of the day, presented by Washington Regional. We're talking about the NCAA tournament. You taking the blue blood programs to win it all, or are you going to take the field?
I'll take the blue bloods, because I think in the end, the Final Four will probably have, the Villanovas, the Kentuckys, the Dukes. I don't trust Kansas still, but it wouldn't surprise me to have Villanova and Duke. I'm trying to get that bracket in my head. I don't have it right in front of me. But make sure I'm not saying two teams that can't match up in the national championship game. But, Kentucky and Duke, I know, can. They're on the opposite sides. Duke and Villanova in there. Two of those three wouldn't surprise me at all to see them play for all of it on that Monday night in San Antonio. I would be fact, I'll be surprised if it's not those teams. I don't expect to see Loyola Chicago in there. I don't expect to see Cinderella still at the ball when it comes to San Antonio on Monday night. Or even San Antonio on Saturday, probably.
I'm going with the Blue Bloods as well. I think it's going to be Kentucky Duke at this point. Kentucky has not been tested. I saw an article, and there was a guy that was trying to go back and see what the easiest run to the national championship ever was, because he felt like he could prove that what Kentucky...
Isn't there some coaches licking their chops out there, though, looking at this list of 16 teams left? And you mentioned Kentucky, but...
I mean, but
if you're Coach K, if you're Bill Self, this is your best shot for some of these teams in a long time.
Or not even that. I think if you are part of the Sweet 16 right now, you really feel in your mind that you can win a national championship. And there are, you talk about the Blue Bloods, there are 10 of these teams or maybe even 8, but there's 8 to 10 of these teams that you're never going to win a national championship, ever. Ever, ever, ever. In the lifetime of your coach and your players, you're never going to win a national championship. And those guys know that in the back of their mind. So they are this close. And then they are this close in a year that North Carolina got beat by 20-plus to Texas A&M. You know, Virginia got beat. Arizona got beat by 30 in the first round. You're in a year that we say all the time, oh, well, you know, it's a game. Anything can happen. And that's more of Coach Speaker, that's more of the echo chamber. But this year, really, anything can actually happen. So if I'm in the Sweet 16 right now, I'm selling my fans, I'm selling my players, and anybody who will listen that I can win a national championship. And for the first time, those coaches and those players probably believe it.
I'm going with the field because this NCAA tournament is drunk. There has been so many things that have happened that I can't explain. A 16 seed beat a 1 seed? I'm going just because for the sake of consistency of what this tournament's been about, everything that my gut has said, I've been wrong about. I've been wrong about the Razorbacks winning the first round. I've been wrong about Virginia making it and winning the national championship. I've been wrong about everything because that's what my gut told me. So now I'm going with the opposite of my gut feeling. I'm going to take the field. For all I know, Loyola Chicago's going to win it all.
Yeah, but here's the problem. You go and you win a game, you upset somebody, then you get into the round of 32, and you're still there for the long weekend, and you upset somebody again, and now you find yourself in the Sweet 16, you fly home, you get everyone telling you how wonderful you are, you get to practice, you get to do all these things, you get in your routine a little bit, as much as you can, and then reality sets in. And now you got to fly out to L.A. or you got to fly out to Boston or wherever you're going for the Sweet 16 and the potential of Elite Eight and a shot at a Final Four. And now self-doubt, fear, all these things start creeping in. Because before you didn't have time to think about it. You just went and played basketball. Now you've sat around for 4 days. It's like a pitcher in baseball where you're not the scheduled starter, but you know all of a sudden something happens with a scheduled starter and you're the reliever and you're going to get your chance to start for the first time. You hadn't thought about it for 3 or 4 days. You're just thrown in there and you pitch great. Why? Because you just went out there and did your thing. Well, now they've had a chance to sit around, guys, and if you're loyal to Chicago, does the pressure and the fear and the doubt and all of this stuff in the moment, can Sister Jean pray enough to get you through all that, you know?
How many times do you think ESPN has talked about Loyola Chicago
exactly.
Before this?
They've gotten attention they never dreamed of. How distracting is that? All of the things that go along with that, I always fear, you know, when you have a chance to stop and really think about what you've accomplished, are you fearful of taking the next step? And you think, well, sure you're not. I mean, everybody wants it. Well, yeah, you say that because that's the right thing, but in the end, it's hard to walk through that door sometimes. And now you've had 4 or 5 days to kind of sit around and contemplate where you're at. Oh, man, you know.
It's almost one of those,
the stage is bigger and brighter now.
It's almost one of those things, too, where a lot of people may think that it's going to be...
These programs aren't equipped for that.
No, but it may be a boring Final Four if it ends up being nothing but the Blue Bloods. If you have Kentucky, Villanova, Duke, and Gonzaga in the Final Four, I don't know. Maybe it just loses its luster a little bit. I think some people will watch it no matter what, because it is the Blue Blood programs, and there's fan bases for all those programs. But
right.
Seeing Gonzaga, Kentucky, Nova, and Duke, I mean, that doesn't excite me. It doesn't say, like, oh, what's the storyline here? It's just that those are just teams that are in it.
But history tells us, what was it? Was it 06 or 08? What year was it George Mason was in?
That was 06.
06, yeah. Okay. That was like the lowest rated Final Four ever. at the end of the day, we tell ourselves how wonderful upsets are and how wonderful it is to have Cinderella at the dance here, but we don't want to watch it. At the end of the day, what we want to see, what we want to watch are the household names, are the Kentuckys and the Dukes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the Loyola Chicagos.
But a lot of people also were really interested in the Final Four when it was Butler and VCU. I mean, it's just, it's such a weird thing to know exactly what people are interested in and at what point in time and if they're going to watch it. But I agree. Yeah, the George Mason one was one of the lowest ones.
They're interested in players. They're interested in coaches.
But that was also one of the Final Fours, too, that had no one seeds in it.
Yeah.
And I believe Florida was the one that won the national championship that year, and they beat UCLA, if I'm not mistaken. That was the year they beat UCLA. I think that's what it was. So, I mean, you still had some, quote, blue blood programs in there, at least with the UCLA, but it was kind of a weird one where it wasn't the regular.
Florida's won enough to not, maybe not be a blue blood, but they're a household name.
I was referring more to UCLA. I guess UCLA considered a blue blood, right?
Yes.
Sure.
I mean, ever heard of a guy named Wooden?
Yeah. He won a few championships in his day. That's what I heard, but...
Anyway, that's our on-the-spot question of the day, brought to you by Washington Regional, where the Walker Heart Institute offers preventative and acute care as well as management of chronic conditions. 11 board-certified cardiologists and innovative leaders providing Northwest Arkansas with their first programs in outpatient heart failure clinics, valve clinic, and lipid clinic. Plus, Washington Regional is the first in the state to be accredited with the American College of Cardiology as a chest pain center. For more details, go online to walkerheart.org. That's walkerheart.org.
We're going to continue our conversation here, and I want to bring back up the Daniel Gafford situation. And obviously, we gave our thoughts of what he's going to be doing, but I put a poll question out on the Twitter account, Morning Rush Show, to see what you thought Daniel Gafford is going to end up doing. Is he staying, or isn't he going? And the results may be a little different from what you would originally think. We'll get to that and more. It's Morning Rush.
The most honest sports radio show in Arkansas. The Morning Rush continues. Download the Morning Rush podcast anytime at hitthatline.com and free on iTunes. This is The Morning Rush.
Welcome back to The Morning Rush. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason in studio with you. Appreciate you making us a part of your day today. As we just got a little less than half an hour of the show left, flying by.
Yeah, we're brought to you by Supercuts. They offer consistent quality haircuts, offering you a high-trained stylist serving Northwest Arkansas and the River Valley. And guys, they got that hot towel in there. That is the whole reason you go get that haircut and stay looking good. They put that hot towel on your face. Something just so relaxing about that when you go to Supercuts, ready to take care of your haircuts for you. For women, children, they take care of all that. Color services, waxing, they do it all at Supercuts. Professional hair products as well. Got to look good when you're out and about. Paul Mitchell, Redkind, American Crew, Tea Tree, so much more. In Northwest Arkansas and the River Valley, conveniently serving customers 7 days a week. That place you go closed on Mondays, closed on Sunday and Monday, never there when you need them. Not at Supercuts, always there 7 days a week. Supercuts, clean, sharp, ready.
Please, please tell me you two saw the ESPN list of the ESPN Dominant 20, which was the 20 most dominant athletes the past 20 years.
I think I saw a couple of names.
I was watching SportsCenter over the weekend, and they were going through their, I guess, methodology of how they were coming up with this, and I liked the fact that it was a Sunday morning. In fact, I was watching it, and it basically they separated it out. If you were in, because there was like some motocross dude that's won like 20 in a row or something. Well, but if you were in a sport whose industry didn't generate $100 million a year, you're out of this conversation.
Which makes sense. I mean, let's be honest.
You may dominate something, but if it's not relevant.
Yeah, then no one cares.
You care.
Yeah, no one cares.
So if you weren't in a $100 million a year sport, you may be the best alpine skier of all time, but that's really benign to this conversation.
Yeah, it's not really relevant. But if you just off the top of your head,
I like the methodology.
Yeah, I did too, except for one thing. But if you're just in there and you just off the top of your head said who's the most dominant athlete in the past 20 years, who would be the first guy that comes to mind?
Tiger Woods.
Yeah, I mean, he's number one.
Serena or Michael Phelps or LeBron.
Okay, LeBron's number two.
Floyd Mayweather.
Floyd Mayweather's number eight. Serena Williams is number 12. She's further down the list.
What about Michael Phelps?
Not even on the list.
No, because that's probably one of them sport. Does it even qualify?
Yeah.
That is, he's an every four-year guy.
But see, but then a WNBA player is mentioned.
How does that...
Again, this is the list that I have a problem with. It's like it's very inconsistent. They explain the algorithm that they used. They had to come up with some type of, like, here's this number, you divide it. It's a bunch of math to it, which is why when they're coming out and they're promoting this list and saying it, here's another thing. You know who number three is?
Ooh.
Peyton Manning.
I can see that.
But could you see Tom Brady being number 20 on the list?
He's number 20?
He's number 20. Tom Brady. 5 Super Bowls.
Yeah. So,
played in 9.
So, run through, because I gave a horrible thumbnail description of just how they qualified certain players or certain sports. You know, if you were a, you know, lacrosse player, you're not even being considered for this, even though you may be the greatest of all time. So kind of give us a quick thumbnail on how they went about this, since you got it right there in front of you.
I'm going to bore some people trying to explain this because it is pretty boring. It says to determine...
Read the interesting parts.
Well, okay. The interesting parts is, in the nutshell, we'll call it that, is that it's given in the sports league, like you said, with annual revenues of $100 million or more. They went to each an individual sport and used the stats that they felt was most telling. For instance, they used the NFL. They used the defense-adjusted yards above replacement.
Okay.
That was the number that they used for the NFL. For baseball, they used the wins above replacement. And on, they used these replacements. And then the highest number that came in for each of those individual sports for each individual players, they came through and they numbered them in the ways that it was set up in their respective sports.
Well, now, that shows you why Tom Brady is 20, because the year that he was even out, I think they won 11 or 12 games.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was about the team, but still... For him to win the multiple MVPs, for him to have all the Super Bowl victories, which I get, like, okay, if you're using that metric, I just think it's a dumb metric to use if you just look at it. Because like you said, like, we're talking about Usain Bolt. He's number 10 on the list. We have Marta, who's in women's soccer, who's above Usain Bolt.
Mm-hmm. So was Tiger 1?
Tiger was 1. LeBron James was 2. Peyton Manning 3. Jimmy Johnson in NASCAR was 4.
Well, that's 1 because he's won a ton.
He's won a ton. Roger Federer. Hey, the guy's won a ton, too. Annika Sorenstam.
Yeah.
Sorenstam, I say her last name. She's number 6.
You got it.
Michael Schumacher. He's a Formula One racer at number 7. Floyd Mayweather's 8. Marta 9. Usain Bolt 10. And then after that, Lionel Messi's 11. Serena Williams is 12. Lauren Jackson's 13. Cristiano Ronaldo is 14. Novak Djokovic is 15. Allyson Felix, 16. Barry Bonds, 17. Mike Trout, 18. Manny Pacquiao, 19. And Tom Brady, 20.
It's hard, and to me, it's hard to not be number one. I mean, Floyd Mayweather's undefeated. So you can take all the stats and the metrics and sum it up. If it doesn't mean, I mean, he hasn't lost anything. And so if it doesn't mean, and now I guess he may have lost a couple of rounds, and so maybe they had to figure that in. But yeah, it's not a bad metric to use, but to make it the end all be all, and to make it say, okay, this is the one thing that we're going with. And that's the problem, because whenever you put things in a blender, if you're just going off stats, you put things in a blender, it may not spit out or it may not produce what you wanted it to produce. That's why you don't just go with one thing when you're trying to talk about the greatest of all time.
Yeah, and it makes sense, because if you wanted to use this metric and to say, okay, this is the metric and this, maybe giving it a different name, but when you say the most dominant, it just kind of gives this idea of, like, okay.
Seems like you go with the undefeated guy.
You feel like you go with somebody, like, again, a Tom Brady, who, since he's arrived in the NFL, the guy hasn't aged. I mean, it's unbelievable that he's still able to play at the highest level when he's 40 years old.
So anyone have a problem with Tiger being 1, LeBron being 2?
I do. I can't get over the fact of you haven't lost. And this is the last how many years?
20 years.
He hadn't lost in 20 years.
Yeah.
He's been fighting for 20 years. He hasn't lost one time.
Does the fact that he only fights, how many in those 20 years, how many fights did he have? 25 or 30? I don't know, but you don't fight.
I mean, he's what, 50-0, so.
Yeah, well, and which I think he may have started
two a year.
17 or 18. Yeah. 17 or 18. So he's probably won 35 or 40 of those fights. And
in 20 years.
Yeah, in 20 years. And my thing is, okay, Maybe, but like these other guys haven't even had an undefeated playoff run. They haven't had an undefeated season. Mm-hmm. And the one guy that almost had an undefeated season, you put him at 20, which is Tom Brady. So it's just difficult for me to get on board. And we're going to, and then Tiger, like, hold on, what? So are we just discounting
the past 10 years?
Like, he shouldn't even be top five.
What?
Well, nah. If you're talking about dominating.
Over the last 20 years?
Yes. Okay, did you forget the first 15?
Okay, so. Yeah. So
since 1998, man.
Okay, hold on. Tiger has been bad for how long?
About 10 years. 9, 10 years. Yeah, okay. 08 was his last major.
Then he was great the other 10 years. So now, all of us, we're not geniuses, but what is an average? Where you take all 20 years.
That's not the metric they're using,
Nick.
You can't tell me
that. Right. No. I understand. That's why I'm saying with their metric.
You think Floyd Mayweather should be one.
I understand with their metric how Tom Brady is number 20. But what I'm saying is Tiger being number one, when you're talking about dominating, he hasn't done anything. Now, if you're going to say
he's
dominating.
Won some events, he hadn't won majors. And majors are what.
That's what counts.
Yeah.
And
other
so,
than
yeah,
the diehard golf fan, that's all that matters.
Yeah. I have a huge problem with him being one under any type of metric. I have a problem with Tom Brady being 20. Yeah. Floyd is too low.
LeBron James at 2, you agree with that?
I don't know because I probably would still have to go Floyd and Brady over LeBron just in their dominance. And then I think Brady, a lot of his, though, people look at the fact that he plays for Belichick and he plays for the Patriots. And a lot of people just kind of feel like you switch him out with any other really good quarterback and they would do the exact same thing. Ooh. And I think a lot of people think those things. And that's why he's never going to get the credit, I feel like, that he deserves. I'm not going to call him underrated because everybody knows.
I mean, he's won 5 Super Bowls.
How
so
good he is. But yeah. But what is he not better than Peyton Manning? I mean, is that even still an argument in which they have Peyton a lot higher? So I think Floyd and Brady are the two that really stick out as far as being too low. And then Tiger's way too high for me.
And I get that, you know, this is talking about the revenue and the sports and all that stuff. But, you know. It just feels weird when you're not mentioning Michael Phelps on this list. You know what I'm saying? I get that they didn't use the $100 million revenue. I get all that. Yes. But when you're talking about dominant athletes, and it is a legitimate Olympic sport and a sport that's had a lot of great athletes come through. And you have to be an athlete to be a good swimmer. But the fact that they've just gotten to that point is just, man.
Yeah. And dominating performances, the things that he's been able to do. And in fact, and didn't we say, or haven't we been saying for the last 10 years, oh, yeah, he's going to have to retire. He's not going to be able to. And we said that for the last 2 Olympics. Like, we don't know if he's going to be able to do what he did in not one, but the last 2 times during the Olympics, we've said that.
On Tiger's case, though, look at the sport. I don't say the sport has died, but look at the way golf has suffered without Tiger being a main player.
Yeah,
and
true.
Then he comes back and he's competitive in the Valspar. The what? The who? The what tournament? The Valspar. Who? Yeah. And it's got like the second highest ratings, and like everyone's talking golf because they're talking Tiger. So, I mean, I don't think that's part of their equation, but boy, if you include that as far as influential, as far as people that move the needle, no one maybe moves the needle more in sports the last 20 years than Tiger.
See, him and OJ.
But then, But then I'd probably have to throw another one out there. Name me a boxing match that's happened in the last 5 years. That has not had Floyd Mayweather in.
No, it's going to have Mayweather.
Name me just one. Just one. Can you name? I mean, I can't either. I can't name
Pacquiao
you.
And somebody. I mean, yeah.
And somebody, though.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I can't name you one unless it has Floyd in it. And we know it's going to be terrible. We still pay the $100. We get duped. And we've been doing that for the last 20 years.
Around, yeah.
Yeah.